Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the one who has bestowed upon his slaves the abundance of virtues and bounties. We praise Him, glory be to Him for the various blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon him, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Dear Muslims, have taqwa of Allah and know that we have reached a time, a stage in this life where one of us is unable to keep up with the various events that are taking place. A lot of agony and pain that we are enduring and suffering from. Too many wounds that are causing us to grieve. And there's no true believer who truly believes, except that whenever he hears about this news, then he should return to Allah and reconsider the affairs of the Muslims and what is expected of him. The one that he focused on, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, is the issue of our brothers in Palestine. As you may have heard often in the khutbah, this is an affair that belongs to us, the Muslims, and this is something that should not be ignored or disregarded. Palestine is that land where many tears were shed and many blood was spilled. It is the first of the two qiblas before the Muslims were commanded to turn towards Al-Kaaba. Initially it was towards Masjid Al-Aqsa. Furthermore, it is the third of the three masajid which are virtuous in Islam, and you are allowed to travel there to perform salah. And this is where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the ascension, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Many men have sacrificed their lives for this particular place, of course for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Palestinian brothers have been suffering for 70 years of the occupation of the Jews in Israel. Their homes are camps, and millions of them live a life of inconsistency and lack of tranquility. The people of Palestine, their whole life is suffering and pain and fear. They are arrested, they are threatened, their homes are destroyed, their schools are closed down, and they are being surrounded economically and physically. And they're being humiliated and belittled, and their lands is being occupied, and their waters are being, they're confiscating even the water that they use. And they chase them everywhere. They accuse whomever they will, and they kill whomever they wish, and they kick out whoever they don't like, and they claim at the end of the day that they are looking for peace. O Muslims, the West has been exposed. Those who claim that they fight for the rights, human rights, so-called human rights, and they are watching what is going on in Palestine and the Muslims that are dying, and all the cruelty and the criminal behavior of the non-Muslims against Islam, and you would expect some of these Western countries to be carrying the slogan that they always speak about, the human rights and the democracy and what have you, from their false claims. And if they were really serious about these claims, then they would push and they would use them in these times. But now they have been exposed, and we know that they have nothing to do with human rights, and that democracy that they speak about is only just a false image. It is clear to everyone through one of two ways. Either a person who is a puppet in the hands of the Western countries, who basically makes it to the leadership of the country through false and fake elections. You know, they play with the ballots and what have you to elect someone, and Allah knows that the people did not even elect him, but somehow he turns out to be a president. Or the other way, they just go in there with tanks and just straight up army style, and they say, this is going to be the president of the country, you know, you better accept it. In any country, he said, that goes against that, then they are to be disconnected from the world. And they are fought against economically and politically in every way, shape or form. And not only that, they would rather go after them and they would kill them and they would bomb them in order to teach them a lesson. Any country that truly elect their president willingly, they are punished by the world. They punish them. It has to be the other two ways that he mentioned in the beginning. So the Shaykh said, do not be afraid. It is not secret to you what our brothers in Palestine are suffering from. Airplanes striking them, and bombs and cannons. Masajid, the houses of Allah have been destroyed, and hundreds of homes have been destroyed. Thousands of souls have died. Many women have become widows, and many children have become orphans. And they've had already many group funerals where they bury more than one person at the same time. These are your brothers, O Muslims, who are suffering and fighting against their enemy. Their stomachs are empty, and their marketplaces are closed, and they are occupied and unable to leave. Their children need milk, and they have no doctors to treat them. And the whole world is looking at them, and no one says a single word. It is not an excuse for anyone who sees his rights and things that are supposed to be honored being dishonored. And he sees children being killed, and women losing their husbands, and old men being arrested. And then he does not provide his aid for his Muslim brothers, and he does not feel sad for what they are enduring. O people of Islam, grandchildren of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where are you from the crying women and from the screaming of the orphans and the children? Where is the brotherhood in Islam? Where is the unity of faith and iman? Where is the character that is befitting for our brothers in Palestine? Who will seek aid for them? Who will aid them? Who will make it easier for them to endure what they are enduring, O nation of Islam? Verily, those who look at our affair in Palestine from the Quranic perspective will never be fooled. You will never be fooled if you look at it from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Allah says about them, every time they make a covenant, a group of them will throw it behind their backs, nay, but most of them believe not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not take as friends and protectors the Jews or the Christians. Verily they are helpers and protectors of one another. And whomever amongst you takes him as a helper and a protector, then he is only one of them. And verily Allah does not guide those people who are oppressive. Furthermore, Allah says in the Quran, neither the Jews nor the Christians will ever be pleased with you until you follow their way and their religion. And Allah says, and they will continue to fight you until they turn you away from your religion if they're able to do so. They will continue to fight you until you leave alone Islam if they are able to do so. O Muslims, it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from His promises that the outcome will be for the righteous believers, and that the earth will be inherited by the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also from the way and the examples that Allah has given us before, that if the believers forsake their belief, then Allah will replace him with another group of people who love Allah, and Allah will love them, and they will have humility and kindness towards the Muslims, and they will be severe and rough against the non-Muslims, against the disbelievers, and they will fight in the cause of Allah, and they will not fear the blame of a blameworthy individual. O Muslims, then he's speaking now to the brothers in Palestine who are involved in jihad. He said, maintain and remain firm upon what you are upon in this blessed land. We apologize to you if many of the children of your nation have turned away from you and became too lazy to help you. But have trust that our hearts are with you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid you. and the money is being spent for you. Oh brothers, verily this ummah has hope after Allah in you. So be patient and fight for the cause of Allah. And know that with difficulty comes ease. With difficulty comes ease. And do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily the aid and the victory will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, and it was inevitable for us that we shall aid the believers. Verily what is happening in Palestine is only a trial for the Muslim Ummah. Because Al-Quds and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, this pure land, it is not only for the people of Palestine. It is not only for the Arabs. It is for every Muslim who bears witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. So no one has the right to take this land from us, the Muslims, and give not even a hand with worth to the Jews, the oppressors. It is the land of the Muslims all over the world. O Muslims, the victory will come through you or through someone else. And the falsehood will be gone through you or through the effort of someone else. So why does not the Muslim see goodness for himself? This is an explanation for what he said earlier. If we don't do the job, Allah will replace us and bring other people who will do the job. So the victory is coming for the Muslims. And the falsehood will be disappearing bi-idhnillah. Either we will get involved or we will be replaced with others. So why don't we take part and be a means of construction in this building of truth, and an arrow from the arrows of truth, so we can eliminate the falsehood. It is a very grieving moment and it is a very serious affair. And everything that we see today or we know about is our responsibility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about these deaths that we're seeing, whether you get them through the email or you see them on TV. You're seeing some of the images of our dead brothers and sisters over there. The Shaykh is saying this is a responsibility for everyone who will be questioned on the Day of Judgment about these particular affairs that the Jews are doing against our brothers in Palestine. And verily, wallahi, we fear that Allah will send upon us a punishment from Him because we are not fulfilling the rights of our brotherhood and we are not providing Him with the aid that they need. O Muslims, know that the weapon of wealth and supplication are among the greatest bi-idhnillah, and something that our brothers are in need of. They are a form of jihad for those who are unable to perform jihad with themselves, with their own souls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all in the Quran. Then in the second khutbah, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, said, my brothers in Islam, know, have taqwa of Allah and repent to Him. He is the one who accepts the repentance, the most merciful. Then he said that he wants to remind us with a reminder that everyone, every oppressive, disobedient, violent ruler should keep in his mind that no matter how much he does and what kind of violence he spreads, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hold of him. And when Allah takes hold of him, He will take His revenge from him in the mighty way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His might. And in that we have an example that happened in the month of Muharram with the one who spoke to the most merciful Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with his enemy Fir'aun. And this particular story takes a big portion of the Quran, the issue between Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Shaykh said, he says to him, to every ruler and every oppressive individual, do what you wish. Destroy the buildings, kill the women and the children. Destroy everything that you see in front of you, the houses with your weapons, and pretend that you are seeking peace. Destroy the peace between the people and have all kinds of gatherings speaking about peace, and steal the wealth of the humans, and do whatever you want to do with the hypocrites who are like you. No matter how long you go and how often you do this, then know that there will come a day similar to that of Fir'aun. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned him, he said, I believe that there is no God worthy of worship except that whom the children of Israel have believed in. And verily I am among the Muslims. So Allah told him, Al-An, now you believe when you have seen death, and you know that you're about to be destroyed, this is the tawbah that is not acceptable by Allah, because this is when the soul is about to leave the body. And this is when it is too late. This is called iman ittirari, belief of necessity. Not because he willingly believed, because now he knows he's going to Jahannam. So he wanted to make the declaration of faith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept this declaration of faith. It says, now, and you were disobedient before, and you were among those who were corrupt. So this is going to happen to every individual who lives the life of Fir'aun. Muslims, here's a reminder that happened in this month, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid the Muslims and the believers, and will disgrace and humiliate the disbelievers. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a Medina, he found that the Jews were fasting on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. So he said to them, what is this? They said, this is a righteous day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the children of Israel from their enemy. So Moses used to fast on that day as means of thankfulness to Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and said, I have more of a right to Musa than you do. And he commanded that that day will be fasted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they came in Sahih Muslim from Abi Qutada, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked about fasting the day of Ashura, he said, I hope that it will be means of forgiving, that Allah will forgive the sins of the previous year. So all of the sins of the previous year will be forgiven. And since it was the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to always distinguish himself from the Jews and the Christians and from the disbelievers, he commanded, he said, if I were to live till next year, I will also fast on the 9th. And the idea behind that is that we do not resemble the Jews in their worship. So they fast on that day only, we fast 2 days. Because we have more of a right to Musa, and we have our own identity as Muslims, so we do not resemble the disbelievers in any way, shape or form, whether inwardly or outwardly. And due to that, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that he will fast on the 9th, but he died alayhi salatu wasalam before that. So we take that sunnah. The Shaykh said, so make sure that you take advantage of this day, my brothers, and that you fast on the 9th and the 10th of Ashura, bi'idhnillah, which I believe will fall on this coming Monday and Tuesday. This coming Monday and Tuesday, inshaAllah. And this is as far as the khutbah. I noticed something that I wanted to share with you pertaining to the etiquettes of Jumu'ah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that whomever plays with the pebbles during the khutbah, he has performed an idle act, and the reward for his Jumu'ah will be void. So you cannot, my brothers, play with your fingers, play with the carpet, play with your thawb, play with anything in front of you. Anytime you get busy with anything other than the imam, you will only get the reward of the salah. As if you prayed dhuhr, you will have no reward for the Jumu'ah. So the affair is very serious. The sunnah is to look at the khatib, whether you understand what he's saying or not. That's not the idea. The idea is that you're focusing with the ibadah. This is an act of worship. You do not play with anything while you're in the midst of the salah. And this is a form of salah. So inshallah the Shaykh will be given a khutbah particularly about the adab and the etiquettes of Jumu'ah. But until then, in case he takes longer than the next week, make sure, my brothers, that when the khatib is speaking, you pay attention to him. Don't get busy with the carpet, with your fingers, cracking your fingers, cross putting, interlacing your fingers. All these actually have narrations which prohibit these particular acts during the salah and otherwise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for your patience and forgive all of us for our sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.